My Introduction to Tales from Cafe Queequeg by Henrietta Lawson. Three stories, 14 songs, and the memory of her face. So this is the editor's note. This collection has three guiding principles. One, life as such ought never be organized. Within it may be created service boards and committees directly responsible to those they serve. Two, no matter what you do, someone will find fault with it. Three, if I can't make music, I don't want anything to do with your revolution. I am an invisible pirate. My promise to you is to follow through with these principles. The mission of this work of Cubist prosatry is to create a non-profit organization. That non-profit organization is to be referred to as the Babylon Refugee Rescue Operation, or, informally, BRO. BRO's purpose is to build a midwifery school on a farm. At said school, the pregnant women will take part in a council that decides the future of the school. Homeless pregnant women will be welcome to come there and barter their need for midwifery. They shall be welcome to stay on postpartum until done nursing their child as either a midwifery student or as a productive member of the farm and school operations. I'm not real much one for words. I took a good gander through the dictionary and tried to do the best I could. Henrietta was the best thing that ever happened to me, so it's appropriate, I guess, that she died. She found me near the Iron Hills Yard, outside Birmingham, Alabama. I was drunk and stupid, and she was beautiful. Her tattoos were homemade. Her hair was a natty patch of dreads, silvery on the ends with lighter guards, bottle caps, and wing nuts. Brown and black clothes sewn together in patches with dental floss, a guitar, and steel-toed boots. Henrietta Lawson, gravel-voiced punk hallucination, singing old-timey surf music blues. She called them the Threnodies. Said it meant songs by mother, sung by mothers for sons lost at sea and at war. The dictionary don't agree, but I do. She came upon me in the brush, on a vacant lot next to the tracks, and asked if I'd seen any eastbounds. As we were on the east end of the yard, I thought that this showed her inexperience, so I got smart. Nah, lady, just a few southbound freighters carrying snow to Hotlanta, I said in my best clever bumpkin voice. Now come here and let me get a look at you. I finished, swaying as I spoke, but still speaking clearly. I'd only had 12 beers. A knife flicked open in her hand, and she smiled, saying,
Closer you look, mortal cost, now give me a beer.
I was pleasantly surprised by her style. Not just some hobo wannabe, she had all the guts, gumption, and gear to get the goods in the great big giveaway that is the American Rails and Roads. But I couldn't give her a beer. Ain't none, it's all empty, I said, slurring a bit now in shock and admiration. But I ain't opened the wiki yet. Well, one thing led to another, and we watched each other's backs from Birmingham to Wendover, via San Francisco, Seattle, and somewhere else. It was months and months of street corner busking, on-ramp sign flying, hitching by thumb, and hopping freight from college town to big city to Podunk. 'Twas a fun trip, really. 'Twas. She taught me guitar, shared snippets and vignettes from her stories, and told me of her dreams to peacefully overthrow the government by building midwifery schools / community centers on farms in every town and village. We were never physically intimate. She didn't like to be touched. Wouldn't even shake hands with anyone. I gave up trying to figure out if she was straight or, well, you know, all that gender equity stuff. Even trying to read what follows here, I can't get an even line on any of that. It is in recognition of this that I've gone to great lengths to try to hide my identity and all that good stuff. I wouldn't want to obscure the beautiful confusion of her image. Then, one day in Maryland, we were crouched in the stowhole of a grader car, facing the car behind us, watching them wheels.
I've been thinking about trying to publish my stories. Somehow they need to become capital and then become farms.
She declared, staring down at the blur of railroad ties and rocks.
But if I make money, I'll get corrupted. I need to find a way to unmake money.
She growled. I was drunk and said something vague. You could always just post it on the internet and hope for the best.
It's not a world worth living in if I have to do all the work.
She raged as she stood up. With a snort, she pulled a great swallow of Jameson's down her gullet and laughed. Now the wind on the outside compartment of a grainer car is an endless test of skill. See, I was rolling the last of my tobacco and herb into a big spleef, protecting the precious cargo inside my shirt by pulling my hands in through the sleeves. This is, obviously, a fairly immobile position. Maybe that's what inspired her, my inability to act. Maybe me sitting there, armless because of my preoccupation with compulsive consumption and addiction in my lap, was so thick and rich that she, well, I don't know.
This world ain't worth saving. Did you ever wonder if a person could derail a train by jumping under it?
She asked, the whistling wind at the top of her voice. I was looking at my hands in my lap and my shirt through the neck hole. Peripherally, I saw her move, felt the train jump a little as it plowed on. She dropped down between the cars. 2 hours later, the train slowed down enough to get off. With her guitar case filled with these stories and her six string, I set out to mourning. These stories aren't mine, and they aren't yours. They belong to a woman who believed that by giving away copies of her stories as gifts, she could sit back and watch the re-evolution that would inevitably result. Farms and community centers focusing on pregnant women, sustainability and emergency preparedness training. Henrietta said the world would get better if these were built, so please, build them. If you like the stories, make a copy and give it to a friend. I'm just a worthless punk. I know of no way to make her dreams come true. If you do, well, what are you waiting for? The pages were all arranged in order with handwritten, paper-clipped copies all in one three-ring binder. The first thing I read was the end, but that comes later. It made me want to read from the start, which actually caused the end to change. Anyways, then I started in, and there was this little essay, and then a little table of contents, and the story was told in all of its crazy, disjointed fashion. Once, when she and I were drunk in the garden of Zot's Coffee Shop, 24-hour freakers respite in Frenchman's on New Orleans, she leaned over her chair's arm and said to me,
"Gonna be dawn soon. We'll go sleep. I finished my book. I don't know what to do with it."
"What's it about?" I asked, none too brightly. She looked away and rolled a cigarette. She was big on that sort of thing, carefully thinking out her answers and stuff.
"It's my response to the Christian establishment's plan to go to Mars. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to go to Mars. George's Jesus is my favorite political philosopher, Bush, saying, we go to Mars. The Discord just set me rolling, so I wrote the King James Bible from the point of view of a modern guitar punkery. I don't know if they'll call me a blasphemous heretic or not."
Then she quoted some scriptures about being all things to all men and leading foolish women out of their houses with fables. She whispered to me,
"I'm rewriting the Bible, and it's freaking me out. I gotta vent or I'll go crazy, so listen to me. I'm writing it like it happens. Tomorrow or something, and I have to do it. There's a million people in my head, tribes and nations, shepherds and city folk. They're screaming, wailing, tortured by their own ignorance. Everybody in the world that ever died is inside of me. I have to write, or they'll never get out. And what good is it? They'll be forgotten by their children's children, by a billion people who live to eat, do their toilet, and watch the sports channel. I won't toss my pearls out for them. They'd rather have pigskin."
She, as you will see, was real big on the Bible. I never held it against her and don't have much to say on that subject except beware the dork side of the farce. I'm an invisible pirate. And what comes next is a little song that I wrote that takes that story we just read and breaks it down in just a little bit less time, a little bit more rhythm, a little bit more rhyme, if you like that sort of thing. If you don't, well, you know, that's the wage slave hustle for you.